Hello, Annie Trenders. Welcome to the Girl Talku, hosted by the ladies of Anime Trending. If you're looking for a nice tea and deep dive analysis about otaku things, you've come to the right place. We love our conversation and discussion, and we're back with another fun topic on the table. My name is Gracie, and I'm joined by...
Hello, I am Isabel, and...
This is Agnes.
So, without further ado, the Girl Talking today will be about our Anime Trending Awards, namely the Anime of the Year nominees. So, typically, this topic is usually discussed on the main Anime Trending podcast, but because the boys are on hiatus currently, the girls are going to steal it from them, to put it simply. So, our Anime Trending Awards is currently happening right now, as in you guys can vote for it, and I believe polls are open until February 8th. And so please go ahead and put in your votes. But today we are just going to, it's going to be much more relaxed. There's no like analysis or anything like that. We're just going to talk about our feelings about the nominees for our Anime Trending Awards because we don't get to pick the nominees. You guys are the ones who pick the nominees. Remember, if you follow us on social, you'll see that we have charts every single week. The performance of the anime on the charts actually determine who gets nominated for the best anime of the year. And so these are the ones who perform consistently in the top four or in the final ranking when we rank up all their votes and we compare it to how they've placed on the charts. The top four are the ones who get nominated for Anime of the Year. So some housekeeping items I want to go ahead and just get out of the way because I don't know how many of you listeners are relatively new to our Anime Trending community or the Anime Trending Awards, but we've grown quite a bit throughout the last 2 years, so we've got a lot more new fans who aren't really aware of how the rules work. So first thing I already explained, which is how the anime gets nominated in the first place. But the second thing I want to go ahead and let you guys know is a lot of people have been asking, hey, where's Frieren? And hey, where's Apothecary Diaries? Especially since they place respectively first and second in the fall. And the general rule for us is that all episodes airing that are intended to be aired must be aired within the year. So, for example, with Jobless Reincarnation, they very much intended for the first core to be aired in, for the first core of the second season to be aired in 2023. And the second core of the second season to be aired in 2024. So because they finished all of the first core of that second season within 2023, it gets included. For Frieren and Apothecary's case, though, they are back-to-back two cores. So their intention is to air 24 to, I think, 28 episodes for Frieren, all back-to-back. And that will end in the 2024 year. So that's why Frieren and Apothecary Diaries nominations are getting pushed to 2024 rather than staying in 2023. Because we don't want you to be voting for a specific set of episodes or a series where it's still currently airing. This rule would have applied even for those with delays. For example, Zom 100, we didn't know when those last three episodes were going to air. It was nominated just based on its performance on the charts. But with those last three episodes, if it had aired at like in the delay, if it had aired in 2024, it actually would have been pushed to a 2024 nomination. But because those last three episodes aired within 2023, its nomination continues to stay in 2023. And to final housekeeping item to get out of the way is I know some people have been wondering about what happened with the 86 situation because 86 had a split core, but the last episode or the last two episodes were pushed out into the next year. But there has to be if it's a split core, as long as one of the cores have fully aired within the year, then it will be included. So if Frieren or Apothecary Diaries have had a split core situation, they probably would have been included for 2023, but they didn't. They are back to back. So I just wanted to make that clear because in case there are any listeners who have been confused about the rules, I just wanted to get that aside right off the bat. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and list out all the nominees, and we're just going to have fun sharing our thoughts and opinions, and, as well as, you know, any anime we think that have been snubbed and which ones we would like replaced, per se, out of this list. So, we have Hell's Paradise, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury Season 2, Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation Season 2, Core 1, My Happy Marriage, Oshinoko, Spy Family Season 2, Tengoku Daimakyo, the 100 girlfriends who really, 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 really love you, The Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten, The Dangers in My Heart, The Eminence in Shadow, The Magical Revolution of the Reincarnated Princess and the Genius Young Lady, Tomo-chan is a Girl, Vinland Saga Season 2, and finally, Zom 100 Bucket List of the Dead. All right, those are all our nominees. Thoughts, comments? What's the first thing that kind of stands out to you guys about this list this year?
There's a lot of season twos.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
And also, I think we're all in the consensus that The Angel Who Spoils Me Rotten shouldn't be anime of the year.
God, no. There is no animation, guys. It's going to be sad if it's anime of the year because there's not even animation in there. I mean, that's an exaggeration. There's obviously some, but not even close to the amount that should be. So, what would you replace The Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten with, Agnes?
Literally Mushoku Tensei, if I have to say.
Well, Mushoku Tensei's already been nominated. So, out of the ones, like, think of anime you've watched weren't nominated. Which one would you replace it with?
I don't know. Literally anything else. I don't really have a preference. Just replace it. It would be my guess. I just don't want to see it on the front page.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Isabel?
I don't know. Replace it with Bleach, maybe?
Oh, wow. Bleach. Wow, Bleach. Okay.
Personal bias.
I mean, Bleach is nominated for other stuff, so I'm guessing you're going to vote for those then.
Yeah, but I feel like no matter how much I vote, it's not going to be there, which is fine. But yeah, I vote whenever I can, though.
I would want Skip and Loafer to replace the Angel Spoils Me Next.
Skip and Loafer is good. Yeah. That's a good pick.
I would choose Skip and Loafer. Or Tsunade Season 2. But I will say that, you know, the fact that Season 1 was so just standard and honestly kind of boring does kind of hurt it. So that's why I say Skip and Loafer. Are there any other ones that, like, you guys immediately think about that you guys wouldn't want to be on here? For me personally, and I'm in the minority here, it's The Dangers in My Heart. A lot of people like it, and a lot of people, like, have been praising season two. I just, like, it was weird because I liked the beginning. I thought there was quirks to it and there was uniqueness. But then once they got into the more romantic parts where they start, like, chasing each other and stuff like that, it just got boring for me. And I did not appreciate all the middle school girl fan service shots. Like, I already have to deal with high school anime girls fan service shots. I don't want to deal with middle school girls fan service shots. So so I didn't really like the fact that The Dangers in My Heart is here. It got in because of the wild cards, which I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I don't get it. A lot of people seem to like it, but I don't get it. And I guess, did any of you two watch it at all?
I didn't, but I had to take some screenshots for Isabel to help out with our content creator team. And I have to say, I also agree that it shouldn't be on this list. It's very juvenile, and I don't really understand the appeal of it.
Yeah. And Isabel, did you watch it?
I haven't watched it. I also had to take some screenshots as well, but also, I had to take screenshots recently because the season two has topped our list for the first week of fall.
Right.
Or not fall.
Yeah.
We're in winter now. In winter. So I was curious. I mean, I watched a little bit of it, but I think the baseline is that I feel like we're not the target audience.
I
was curious about that. So I went on Reddit to read a little bit more about what people were saying. And it seems like the way that maybe the characters are portrayed and kind of how they, you know, navigate this middle school life is what appeals to that type of audience, I guess. And so that's why I think it charts high on our charts, because it's based on, I feel like, the audience itself and how they feel connected to the characters. But yeah, I just feel like maybe, yeah, it would have been for a different type of audience rather than us.
So, I mean, what I will say is that those middle school girl fan service shots with Anna, they're not really present in the manga. That is an anime choice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that leaves a bad taste in the mouth then.
Yeah, actually, if you look up the manga, the art is really cute. Someone took screen caps of the manga and, like, commented. Actually, it was a manga reader who's a huge fan of it. When I had said that, you know, I wrote an official review for it where I was like, I got bored later. Like, I liked the beginning. I thought there was quirk to it. And there was a really romantic scene between the two of them where I totally understood, like, why they would be interested in each other. But then that's unfortunately like the peak for me, because it went downhill for me personally after that. And someone made a comment and was like, yeah, I'm a huge manga fan, but I actually don't like the anime because I think like the style and stuff doesn't really match like the atmosphere of the manga. And they took screenshots of the manga, and the manga looks adorable, I will say. So, and definitely not so much emphasis on a middle schooler's boobs, that much is certain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I want Dangerous in My Heart out of there, and I would rather have Buddy Daddies there. So.
Oh, yes.
Buddy Daddies is a good pick. I agree.
Agnes says that so professionally, even though we know the truth about how she feels about the anime.
Look, it's our opinions, and it's not like it's going to actually influence the nominees at this point, because these are the official nominees, so it doesn't matter. I can say whatever I want.
Right,
at this
exactly.
Point.
Have you guys voted yet on the awards?
No.
I think I did already.
Not yet.
First. I haven't. I did the top anime. I don't think I did like the other. Top anime, and then I think the movies are there as well, so I did those, I think.
Okay, what did you vote for your top anime?
It was so hard to choose. I thought I could choose at least three, but I can only choose one.
Right.
And if I really had to choose one, I just had to give it to Jujutsu Kaisen. I feel like that one was the most hype for me, and I really love the animation.
Yeah.
I think the Hidden Inventory arc really did it for me. I think that was probably the best one. Mm-hmm. The Shibuya arc was also very good, but I think obviously with the animation, you know, I just thought maybe it could have been better, but especially the Choso and Yuji fight, Itadori's fight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's probably my hands down like my favorite of the season, and probably of the year, I feel like, overall. Mm-hmm. So that would be my choice. My other favorite that wasn't on this list that I would also vote for would be Trigun Stampede. I think that was my favorite for 2023 as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I know not a lot of people liked it, but I feel like in general what I look for in anime, I feel like Trigun Stampede definitely beat out everything that I expected it to do as a remake, and also proving that it's not a regular remake of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then also with the 3D CG, I feel like it was testing new things and doing new things that, you know, I don't really see, and also maybe that I look for. And so that'll be my other vote if it was on this list. So
got it. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on Jujutsu Kaisen. I loved the Hidden Inventory arc. I actually do like it more than a Shibuya arc. I like something about the Hidden Inventory arc is like more tragic, because it's more quiet in regards to how the tragedy is. And I, in particular, like those quiet tragedies more than just very loud, everyone's dying kind of tragedy. So that's why I like the Hidden Inventory arc. You said you wish that there would be like three options. So is there like a third one you had in your head?
The other one, I think, was it on this list? Probably. Maybe Tenkoku Daimakyo. I feel like the setup for everything was pretty good. But yeah. Otherwise, I would just go back to Bleach. I want that to be on the list. Every list.
Maybe Isabel's like secretly one of those Bleach fans who have been like, Anime Trinity is biased against Bleach.
Yes. Actually, we get those comments a lot, which is funny.
I know.
But we actually do have Bleach fans on our team, I feel like, to someone other than me, so.
And there's a handful of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Agnes, you haven't voted yet, but which one are you planning on voting for, just looking at this lineup?
So I'm a bit torn between three, but even then, I don't feel like the three of them would be the top, like, anime of the year for 2023, but because this is the official nominees list, I'm like, okay, which of the three would I choose, because it's better than the other ones at least.
Okay, well,
is my pick.
Now I'm curious, so first share the three of the list, but let us know which one do you think is the anime of the year.
Yeah, so I think I definitely would either do, like, it would be a crossover between like Jujutsu Kaisen and Daimakyo Tengoku.
Okay.
Even though I've not watched any of those two mm-hmm. in particular. I know how well they did, like, during our seasonal awards, and also because, like, you know, we talked about Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, about the Hidden Inventory arc and the Shibuya arc. And then Tengoku Daimakyo, I wanted to at least nominate because it's, like, an interesting sci-fi space mm-hmm. that we don't really get a lot of sci-fi as Anime of the Year award for. I think the last one that we did was, like, Akudama Drive, but usually, like, sci-fi is very, like, hit or miss.
Yeah, Akudama Drive is the first and the last sci-fi Anime of the Year winner so far, so...
Yeah, exactly. So if Tengoku Daimakyo... And then even then, Tengoku Daimakyo doesn't come off as, like, a pure sci-fi, as compared to, let's say, the other nominee on this list that's a pure sci-fi would be, like, Witch from Mercury.
Right, yeah.
Which is, like, ultra sci-fi. You got the mechs, you got, like, the sociopolitics, yada, 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 and the really horrible lesbian ending that everyone's in arms about, and Bandai's in the flames of hell. But anyway,
I mean the director gave a middle finger to them and added,
yeah, exactly, the director was like, keep Bandai. But anyway, I think Tengoku Daimyaku at least deserves it because it's a unique sci-fi story that is written in parallel mm-hmm. to each other. Yeah. It shows, like, one side is like a post-apocalyptic world, and then the other side is like a sort of like enclosed sanctuary of children that live, like, very blissfully from what's happening outside, mm-hmm. sort of to speak.
Yeah.
So I want to at least vote for Tengoku Daimyakyo for that kind of setup that is very different from most sci-fi setups. And I think the last one is one that I'm just very biased towards, would be Vinland Saga Season 2, mm-hmm. because I think they just did a fantastic job in general of just executing the whole end of the slave arc. But we already know that Vinland Saga has already won one Anime Trending Award already.
Oh, you wanted it to, like, be a little different, you know, because it's
yes, why. I wanted it to be a bit different. Okay. Because even though I love Vinland Saga, Season 2 in particular, it's kind of like, well, the point of the Anime Trending is to nominate new things, not to nominate old things. Right? You can't just have, like, for example, like Crunchyroll, where it's like, you're in ice, like, does a grand sweep of everything, and it wins everything, right? But you want to have, like, a little bit more variety to expose to people. Like, well, there are some animes that do better than others in certain categories, and there are some that just kind of, like, blow it out of the water. Mm-hmm. So I did almost think about maybe, like, Zom 100 as mm-hmm. a potential contender, just because I had watched the last couple episodes of Zom 100 when it dropped during Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I liked
and
it.
And I thought it was a really good ending, mm-hmm. yeah. But I do think that because of that break in between, it kind of killed its popularity. And I didn't feel for it as strongly as I did during the season that it was airing. Granted, I didn't quite watch Zom 100 during the season that it aired, but I watched it, like, at the end of the season when most of the episodes were out. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like the hype for it kind of died until Christmas. So my top three would have to be at least Vinland Saga Season 2, Tengoku Daimyakyo, and Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. My Happy Marriage is, like, a weird one because it's like, I want another shoujo to win.
Right, yeah.
But because the last shoujo that won was Fruits Basket, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think we all agree that the way that My Happy Marriage ended on its current arc is not enough to kind of feel the hype for it as an overall anime.
I agree, yeah.
Because it's kind of in a weird spot where it's like Mio attains that kind of, like, self-respect and dignity for herself in the first part of the season, mm-hmm. right? Where she realizes she needs to leave her house. But then the second arc is like this weird arc of, like, oh, she can't really assert herself, and therefore we're at a sticky dead end, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are my top three.
Wait, what's your actual Anime of the Year? Because you said it's not in here.
Yeah, your one vote.
I don't know. I don't think I have one.
Oh, you don't?
I think for some reason, 2023, Buddy Daddy is one where I'm just like, rabid fangirl, wow! But at the same
that's
time, it's
biased,
like,
biased pick.
Yeah, that's right. That's considered the biased pick. But I think that in terms of 2023, the year was very mute in terms of, like, standout quality anime overall. So I don't really have a pick that I would personally pick for myself. But knowing other people's opinions and, like, logic and, like, screenshots and stuff like that for other animes, I'm willing to pick something that I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I already have tweeted about this, but I ultimately ended up voting for Vinland Saga Season 2. Actually,
there you go.
My reason for voting for is not just because I adore it and I there's nothing I would change about it. Like, I even think the flaws make it better, but There is, so you know how you said, like, you know, you are a little, like, Vinland Saga is probably, like, one of your biggest picks, but because it's won before in the past, you're a little less, like, rabid about making it win and stuff like that. But for me, my motivation is, like, well, we never yet had a chance in anime trending where, like, two seasons are one anime of the year, and I was like, that would be pretty cool if Vinland Saga is that anime where it, like, it's a sequel one anime of the year, because that will also be a first time in anime trending history. So so that's why also gets me excited.
Now you're starting to persuade where I should vote now.
I'm like, I don't need the later seasons to win, but I'm like, would be pretty cool for season one and season two to win, like, because that will be a first time in anime trending history. I wouldn't mind at all if Oshinoko wins either, to be honest with you guys. Though I know there's a lot of fans for it, but one thing I did learn from our own demographics is during the spring when it was airing, I was really surprised to see that while Oshinoko was, like, number one amongst our male voters, it was only, like, seventh amongst girls and non-binary folks. And I was like, to win anime training awards, you have to be pretty high up in both genders. And being seventh amongst the girls and the non-binaries, that's not enough. Like, that's not going to get you to win. Like, you need to be higher than that. Because Tengoku Daimakuyo won spring anime of the season, and it wasn't number one for either of them. It wasn't number one for the guys, and it wasn't number one for the girls or the non-binaries. But it was two or three for all three groups. And because it ranked so high amongst all three groups, even though it wasn't number one, that's what ultimately lent it to be number one at the end of the season. So knowing that Oshinoko isn't, like, a huge hit amongst the ladies and the non-binaries, I'm not sure if it's going to be able to reach that spot. But I wouldn't mind if it did win, because I actually had a fun time with it. I was actually a little surprised that the ladies and the non-binaries didn't really like it that much. Do you guys have any idea about that? Or, like, are any of you guys even fans of Oshinoko?
You know, I enjoyed it as well, but I wouldn't vote for it either.
Huh, okay, why?
Because I feel like there's more plot, obviously.
Okay.
I think, obviously, the first episode, which was, like, an hour-length premiere, that was really great. But then the story, as it went on, I think it just felt like maybe one or two big arcs in there, but I still had a lot of questions, kind of like, oh, you know, how is Ruby going to figure out that Aqua is, you know, the person that she met in the past or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the reason why, like, I feel like there's more, but obviously I also wouldn't be mad if it won anime of the year, because I'll be like, Oshiroko was good still. But I think in terms of liking it, it's kind of weird that as much as, like, as hyped as was and people did like it, that, yeah, I'm not too sure why it didn't do as well on the females portion, though. But I think overall it's kind of, like, when you compare it to other anime, I think you would think that other anime that might have bigger plot points or more importance to you or the audience would be kind of, those rank higher than Oshinoko. At least that's my personal take on it.
And Agnes, like, do you have any theories about it? Or, like, maybe you even have an answer. I don't know.
I don't have an answer for it, just because I didn't watch Oshinoko when it came out.
Okay.
One of the Agnes's famous is, I didn't watch this anime. But I know that there was some discourse on Twitter, for example, especially in the shoujo community, about the very weird romance that was thrown in between Aqua and Ruby. Even though they are technically biological siblings.
But that was in the manga. The anime is not there. Also, the manga did that to troll readers. I don't know why they decided to do that, but they did, and it's, like, moved on since then. So, yeah.
I know it's, like, it's moved on since then, but it's still, like, a thing that is going to come up anyway as a result, because it is something that is foreseen in the manga. So it's very possible that despite the critical acclaim that Oshino Ko has in terms of like visuals, in terms of music, in terms of characterization and arcs, there is still kind of like that bad lingering taste that it might be animated. Mm-hmm. That section between Aqua and Ruby's romance that might have already been going around in shoujo circles since it was announced that Oshino Ko was getting animated.
Interesting.
So that might have, and despite the fact that it did do well as ranking like second and third in the respective gender categories, the majority of the other reader females or non-binary readers would anime watchers would have been like, oh, I don't want to watch
this. Oh, no. The 2 and 3 one is Tengoku Daimakyo. It was actually 7th amongst the ladies.
Oh,
the
7th. Okay, then we don't have to worry about that. Yeah, Tengoku Daimakyo then is probably just because it's a sci-fi element series and not, I feel like a lot of, in general, sci-fi is not very widely accepted in female communities, and I don't know too much about non-binaries in general, but like I said, sci-fi can be a hit or miss. It's mostly more popular with guys, unfortunately. That's like a very weird like genre demographic trend in terms of gender. But for Oshino Ko, yeah, I feel like it might just be overall that weird bit of the romance between Aqua and Ruby. And then the other thing I was thinking about is like Oshino Ko's, I think, popularity from the original visuals is that everybody's very drawn to Ai's story originally because she's supposed to be the star. Like, every single promotional piece that you see for Oshino Ko is Ai.
Right, yeah.
But the plot twist is that Ai actually dies very early.
Right.
She's no longer the star. The star is actually the next generation of singers who are also trying to like unravel the mystery behind her death. So I think that might also throw off a couple other people too.
I can see that. Oh, my only other thing I could think of is I do see people who are like, they refuse to even start Oshino Ko because apparently the fandom just annoys them that much. Which, you know?
Oh yeah, there's that too. Yeah, anime fandoms are just weird across the board in general. Where it's like there's so much hype developed for an anime, but then some people get so tired of it, they're just like, I'm not gonna watch it just because it's hyped. It's like, okay, well, that's your opinion, I guess. A kind of a bit baseless, but it's like, whatever. People will choose what they want to watch and consume.
Well, I got one I want to talk to you about, Isabel, because we both liked the first season of Jobless Reincarnation. Despite all my hatred towards the protagonist, I did like the first season, and I know you liked it too. So did you watch the first core of the second season?
No, sadly, it was not enough for me to watch season two.
Real? You didn't even watch it.
Damn, Isabel's cold ass.
I didn't even try. I'm so sorry.
What? Oh, okay. So you didn't even like check out the first episode or anything?
No, I didn't.
How come?
It's just isekai. It's really hard for me. Like isekai and then fantasies are really hard for me to get into.
Oh.
So which is why when Agnes is talking about sci-fi, I'm like, I love sci-fi. I don't know what you, I don't know what you mean, but I think. Yeah, I don't know why. I just, isekais and fantasies are really hard for me to get through. And I'm kind of, it's almost the same case for me with Frieren. Like, mm-hmm. I know how good it is and everyone loves it, but it's kind of like the same thing for me. Like, I'm like a little bit like forcing myself to get through it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do Mushoku Tensei when I feel like pushing myself through it.
Oh, then maybe I shouldn't talk about it because I was really disappointed by this one.
Wait, you have to tell me that. Okay, well, if you're going to be disappointed, obviously, if I do watch it, then I'll have my own opinions. But what made you so disappointed about it? Like, did it just fall off? Or
this,
like,
but I thought it was boring.
Boring?
I know. Which was not what I thought of the first season, but I thought the second season was boring. I mean, first of all, its premiere episode was horrible. It was so slow and it introduced a bunch of new characters where there's nothing about them that makes them unique or distinct. And I was just like, they're just tropes. And I was like, why do I care about you guys? I don't know you. Like, I don't care about you guys. Like, you're just throwing me into here. And then on top of that, Rudius, he kind of like, in my opinion, he backtracks on sort of on his character development that I felt like he earned in the first season. Because he starts off really mopey in the second season. And it's because Aries left him at the end of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought with the way the last episode ended with season one, where he was like, no, I need to keep moving because I need to find what was her name? But his biological mom in here. And so, because she was missing, and he sort of like steals himself to do that. I thought like that would lead directly into him like steeled to find her, doing whatever it takes, and maybe even being a little too obsessed with finding her to try to like brush aside or ignore sort of the pain and the abandonment. But instead, he just kind of mopes for like the first few episodes. And yeah, he's like looking for her, but I feel like he's not really trying that hard and stuff. And so remembering how that last episode aired and going directly into him being that, I'm like, dude, what's going on? Like, what happened to all that like ending dialogue of him being like, I need to keep moving. Like, I'm like, you're not moving, dude. You're like barely there. So I didn't like that. And obviously there was a whole, like his whole essay tendencies came back again. There was an entire episode dedicated to him, like feeling up to girls that he tied up and everything. It was really like god awful and makes me want to puke sort of thing. And then of course, there was the inclusion of slavery, which I thought was just so like weird and not well done at all in regards to it. I also got attacked on Twitter for that. Not that I actually care, because it was more entertaining to see myself getting attacked than in any case. But it's just a lot of things in there didn't work for me at all. And it actually killed my enjoyment so much that I've dropped it. I'm not gonna watch the second half of season two. So yeah.
Damn.
Like, I know people say, like, this is the good part. Like, everyone was just like, even the people who are like, they hated the beginning of Jobless Reincarnation were like, oh, this is the part that it's getting good. I'm like, I'm sorry. Those 12 episodes were actually torture for me to get through. Like, I kept waiting for something to happen and nothing happened. So I'm done. I'm out.
Wow, that's interesting. So, like, is this a surprise to you that it's a nominee here, or?
No, I know it has a really dedicated fandom. I am, like, what I will say is I don't think it's undeserving in the fact of, like, you know, The Angel Next Door spoils me rotten, or The Dangers in My Heart, for that matter. I actually think it deserves to be here more than Maji Revel and Tomo-chan as a Girl, even though I enjoyed both of those two simply because of just pure animation production values. I think it's pretty good. And so I like, there's like it won sceneries and visuals. So it can't be nominated anymore unless there's been some significant changes, which there hasn't been. I should go ahead and just add that caveat now. So for our aspect awards, so those are sort of the technical stuff like sceneries and visuals, voice acting, cast, animation, etc., character design. If a previous nominee has won before in the category, we won't nominate them again unless we think they've gotten even better than the last time they got nominated. So everyone agreed that Jobless Reincarnation didn't get quote unquote better than the last time it won in season one, but it's still very beautiful. Like, there were shots of like the college and stuff that actually took my breath away. I thought they were really, really gorgeous. So I don't think it's undeserving of its slot here. It's just like, it was just really disappointing. Like, it was just one of my biggest disappointments. That was it.
Wow, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh, also, fun fact. I have watched every anime on this list except for Wish for Mercury, guys. So, I just want to point
that's
that
impressive.
Out. I like usually awesome. I would like watch 80% of it, but this might be the first year where it's like only one of them I haven't seen. The rest I've all seen, so...
I am a little bit surprised that A Witch from Mercury is on here in general.
Really?
The ending was really bad, I think. There was a lot of flack from the community, too. And then the fact that, you know, the director gave the big middle finger to Bandai, so I don't know why it's here, so to speak.
I thought people liked the second core, though, or the second season.
Sorry, what was that?
I thought people liked the second season. I don't watch it. That's why I can't say for sure. But I thought people liked it.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I think, I don't know. I was watching it pretty avidly from the beginning during season one. But I don't know. It felt kind of boring, question mark, or maybe I just fell off of it somewhere halfway through, so I didn't think it deserved to be on this list. But it is a sci-fi contender to Tengoku Daimakyo, so that at least is something.
I do remember in one of our previous episodes that the introduction of Suleta's mom was really annoying to you. Like, you did not like her in there.
Yeah, she just annoys me. I'm just like, it's so obvious what her end is that I'm just like, you could have made her a more like let's say like the example between like two female villains, right? You have like Makima from Chainsaw Man versus like Suleta's mom from Witch from Mercury. I think Makima definitely does a better job at hiding her her nefariousness and her villain side and being an actual villain, okay, as compared to Suleta's mom, whose velvety words make it seem like it's super damn obvious that she is out here doing a plot for revenge.
I feel like that's right. You have like a thing against like manipulative people, so it's more like if you're gonna manipulate, at least have the skill to do so.
Yeah, at least be good at it, because like I can sense bullshit very easily that I'm just like, oh, okay, sure, you can try, but I don't know if it's gonna work on me.
You're,
but I don't
that
think
meme
so
of,
but have
like
fun.
That sure jam, like that meme. Okay, that makes a lot more sense, because it's like with Makima, at least you like you respect her game, but you don't even respect Suleta's mom.
Yeah, I respect the game that she puts herself through in order to like convince people that she is on their side, when the reality is that she's not. She's just using them for her own gain. Versus for Suleta's mom, it seems very odd. Mm-hmm. Like a mother, it feels very displaced as a mother going out for the revenge of her husband and her child. Although I do have to say, like, it brings up a good point of like, is a mother's revenge any different from like a father's revenge in terms of like getting vengeance for somebody who's like killed their family or their coworkers or people that they care about?
I think the thing is the portrayal of revenge between women and men are often so different. Like men is
John Wick.
They just go straight at it directly, like nothing to hide and stuff like that.
Right.
But with women, it's much more sneaky and manipulative. And I mean, there is a lot to be said about that, considering that, you know, the world has been a patriarchal society for centuries now, and whatever power women have had in the past, they've done it through manipulation because they literally can't do it directly that men can.
Right.
So you can draw a straight line to that. But I think, just overall, the portrayal of revenge, it's weird. Like, yeah, we never had just like a revenge story of a woman just going bat crazy on people and just killing everyone. That's it, and just leave it at that. Like, there's like no manipulation involved whatsoever. Like, I can't even imagine it, honestly. It's weird.
yeah.
Well, anyway, one anime I'm happy to see nominated on here that I know is not going to win. I don't think it should win. I think it should just be nominated is The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You. It's such like a funny, stupid anime, but I do think comedy is well done, and it looks gorgeous. Like, I'm going to say,
it's very pretty.
It's
yeah,
very, very pretty. The anime really makes the most of the medium too. Like, they made adaptational changes from the manga and really elevated the source material. I really like it. I don't think story wise it's like worth winning anime of the year per se, but I'm happy to see it nominated if nothing else. Did any of you guys like check it out?
I mean, I just saw the screen caps of the two lesbians going at it. That's my context for the series.
Isabel, did you check it out?
I did. I only watched like two episodes. I did like it. I just checked it out wondering what the heck it was about. But it definitely surprised me. I thought the girls were very cute.
Right.
And then all the tropes of... It basically breaks every single trope, I feel like, and just makes ridiculous kind of like... I mean, having 100 girlfriends is already dumb. And the fact that he even asked out 100 girls in the first place, I thought was really dumb. But it was really funny for some reason. So I can see why people like it. And also, I thought it was funny on our charts as well when half of his ships literally took up half
the
charts.
That was so funny, yeah!
You might as well take the whole chart. What the heck?
Oh gosh, yeah, no, that was great. Yeah, so I'm happy to see it nominated. I don't think it's it'll win. I don't think it should win, but it's like one of those, you know, where there's like a movie where you're like, yes, it should be Oscar nominated. It should not be Oscar winner, but it should be Oscar nominated. That's how I feel about The 100 Girlfriends.
Do you feel the same way for Tomo-chan as a Girl or Magical Revolution?
Oh, that one's a little more difficult. I do really enjoy Tomo-chan as a Girl. I like the couple. I told Agnes this the other night. I literally was rewatching clips of those two because they're such a power couple and like the funniest way of a contemporary in a rom-com contemporary setting. Like, we're not even talking about fantasy with powers or anything like that. But something about it is missing that pizzazz that I feel like The 100 Girlfriends have. Like, The 100 Girlfriends have some kind of special unique sauce in it that just elevates it to be worthy of a nomination. Versus Tomo-chan as a Girl, I think it's cute. It's a rom-com. It's very enjoyable. I like it. You know, a solid 7 out of 10 sort of situation. But I wouldn't necessarily think of it as Anime of the Year nomination worthy either. Though I will say this kind of leads to another topic, you know, not so much to do with anime, but maybe broader. I'm kind of curious to hear you two talk about, because people have been saying over and over again that for these award ceremonies, romantic comedies don't really get a lot of respect. It's like, you see romantic comedies and you're like, oh, it shouldn't win. It just straight up shouldn't win. And a lot of people think that's really unfair. And Tomo-chan is, I think, out of all of these, the most rom-coms of all rom-coms. Yeah, without question, Tomo-chan is the most rom-com of all rom-coms. And so, and I, you know, unfortunately kind of fall in line with those people where it's just like, yeah, it's nothing special, you know, it's cute, it's fun, it's entertaining, but not award worthy. And I'm kind of, you know, have you two ever thought about that, where it's like, you know, maybe rom-coms don't get the respect it deserves per se?
Yeah, I totally agree. After watching Tomo-chan, like, you know, it was fun to watch and it basically hits all of the points of a rom-com, but I'm also in that boat where, you know, it just wouldn't be my anime of the year, and I think it's overlooked as well. Like, for it to win, it needs its own category of rom-coms.
Wow.
Otherwise, it just, yeah, compared to others,
no,
it just won't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with what Isabel says, because I'm thinking about, like, not even anime rom-coms, but just, like, American, like, Western rom-coms, for example. They do really well when they go up against each other, but when you think about the larger scope of the films and movies and TV shows that people like things that has more depth, rather than something that's just cute, funny, and romantic, I guess.
Is it bad that something that's like quote unquote shallower isn't taken as seriously? Or
I think it's more of the fact that people have become so desensitized to things that are shallow that they automatically want to watch something that's more edgier or something that's more violent or something that is more, that has more depth to it. Anything that isn't shallow, like a rom-com. Because a rom-com implies that it's a series that you kick back to on like a weekend night when you're depressed with a bottle of wine and a bottle and a box of ice cream to just eat away your depression woes, right? Or rom-coms is something that you want to watch because you want to fill that void in your heart because you don't have anybody to love or something like that, right?
Right.
So the point is, like, rom-coms is its own special category, but it serves a very specific subset for a very specific instance as compared to many people who want to watch something that is deeper or something that is more visually aesthetic, I guess.
Well, I want to touch on anime that none of us have even spoken on yet. Hell's Paradise. So that came out this year.
It's the most disappointing one to me.
Okay, go off, girl. Go off.
Isabel, did you read the manga for Hell's Paradise at all, by any chance?
I did not, sorry.
Oh,
I like,
okay,
the anime.
So I'm the only one. I was really excited for Hell's Paradise. I think it was 2-3 years ago I was actually actively reading Hell's Paradise. And I remember making the comment to myself, this series is so dang good, it should have an anime, right? Because I think the premise of the executioners versus the prisoners on an island, and then they have to fight for survival, and then they find out the island's a lot more sinister than they thought, was a great setup. It's kind of like Survivor or like any other type of survival type of shows in the West. But unfortunately, what really brings down Hell's Paradise popularity is the sheer production value is horrible. It's so bad. And I kept comparing it. And I think this goes back to our last topic last week, where I have a very... I love backgrounds and scenery and visuals specifically from manga, because there's kind of a weird depth and a beauty of portraying it in a 2D light with like hatches and then black and white to convey depth and saturation and color. But for Hell's Paradise, the animation, the colors and the animation is already so flat that it feels like there just wasn't enough budget to go into it. There's not enough people that go into it, and it just falls right out the gate. I was really, really disappointed by it overall.
I almost feel like people just forgot about it.
Yeah, people forgot about it because the animation quality was not good. The story is really good, but it's just the quality in general. I almost want to say that Hell's Paradise production quality probably is even ranked lower than like a rom-com's animation quality at this point.
I have to agree. I would say Tomo-chan did a better job than Hell's Paradise.
Yeah, like if you compare like Tomo-chan and like the 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You, those two have much better animation quality than Hell's Paradise. Even The Dangers of My Heart has slightly better animation quality than Hell's Paradise.
No, I will say The Dangers of My Heart had this weird, like, blurry filter that drove me nuts. Oh, it does.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't understand it. I was trying to take screenshots.
You thought you were at the highest quality, didn't you, when you were taking screenshots?
Yeah. And I was already on really bad internet service that day. I don't know why. And I was telling the CC team, I was like, yo, I pumped this up to a really high quality. My internet is kind of failing me right now too, but why does it look so blurry? I don't understand. And one of them goes like, oh yeah. One of them just goes, yeah, that's just the basic quality of The Dangers of My Heart, regardless of the quality.
It's very obvious they did it purposefully too. And I was like, but what's the purpose? You know?
I don't know, girly. You can ask the production team.
Gosh. Apparently it's still there for the second season, and I'm just like on my knees going, why?
Yeah, I was getting screenshots yesterday, and I was like, I gotta take it again. It doesn't look good. I gotta take this again. I gotta go to some other site and see if I can. It's actually the way that it is. It took me a while to figure that out, but yeah, I was like, why? Do I need to like wipe my screen or something?
I feel like there's no rhyme or
reason.
I mean,
this animation studio doesn't really have a lot of... Although, no, I shouldn't be saying that. I was saying, like, it... Oh, no, I can say that, actually. I think a lot of this... Because it's from Shin-Ai Animations, which is the same company that does Doraemon and Crayon Shin-chan, which is their biggest sellers anyway.
Right.
Versus a lot of the other series that they've done are... They've done a lot of series, but they're really, really small. I don't even know them by their titles, and they're really, really old. And they recently got back into the foray of actually doing animation more consistently between 2010 and 2020. The only one that I think that they did really well, maybe questionable, would have been on their own, would have been those Snow White Notes. And then the two other series that are currently airing right now that do have very decent production qualities is Mr. Villain's Day Off and The Worst Way to Use Healing Magic.
Hey, Artie Sekai!
But even those two series, and also A Couple of Cuckoos, those three series are co-produced with another studio.
Oh!
The Dangers of My Heart is the only more recent anime that they're doing that they did on their own.
Got it.
So I think they're kind of faltering somewhere. Yeah, if you look at their Wikipedia list in 2010, a majority of the animes that they've produced are in co-production with another studio.
Also, can I just say that stupid isekai is so good. It has no right to be this entertaining. Why is it like that? Why?
Which one?
The isekai, the healing magic, the wrong way to use healing magic. It's so fun. Why is it so fun? How does that even work?
It's because Rose makes it fun. Rose is not an object of an affection for the MC, but is an object of vengeance for the MC.
Watching that one at all, Isabel?
I am not, but the title was interesting to me.
It's honest. Well, she already doesn't like isekai, that's so true. I don't think it's something she'd watch.
That's right. Fantasy isn't really your jam, so I mean, that makes sense because sci-fi really isn't my jam. We're like opposites, right, in regards to this. So
I think it might be maybe if we bring in like personality things. Like Gracie loves the fantasy, But then Isabel likes something that is a little bit more grounded and more realistic. So that's why she likes the sci-fi more.
Here's my issue. I don't think sci-fi is grounded at all. that's my what? Thing.
Why not?
I don't think sci-fi is grounded.
Let the fires go. Let's fuel the fire. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, both are fine.
Yeah, sci-fi, I can never be into the world because I'm like, I don't like this world. It doesn't make any sense, this world. And you're trying to make me think this can actually happen in the future. I don't think so.
That's the point. It can possibly happen in the future. That's why I like it.
I don't think it's likely to happen in the future.
Yes, it is. We have to dream.
Also, if it's going to happen in the future, they need to tone down the colors because they make my eyes hurt.
Well, the future that we have right now is Elon Musk and his Teslas, and I don't think that's the sci-fi future that we want.
Well, see? Exactly! So the more I watch it, the more I'm like, nah, this is it. This is it. Like, this can't happen. I cannot have my imagination believe that this is ever a possibility in the future. So, yeah, sci-fi is just not it for me at all.
That's okay. We're just in the testing phase, I would say. That's where we're at. We have the vision. Yes.
That's interesting. Okay.
Oh, man. All right. Well, is there any other anime in this nominee list that you guys want to talk about or ask questions about? Magi Revel, Eminence in Shadow, Spy Family. I feel like we didn't really touch on those.
Spy Family, I've heard from a couple other people that while the Yor arc is really good, Spy Family Season 2 doesn't stand out as much.
Huh. Okay.
And I think I've even heard a couple people, at least my friends, not people that are within the anime trending community, but I think some of them were kind of like, well, the hijinks in Spy Family Season 2 is kind of like the same as Season 1. It doesn't really offer anything new or innovative. The only thing that is new and innovative is Yor's like self-determination to protect her family and have a purpose in life. Mm-hmm. But that comes in the second half of Season 2, not even in the first half of Season 2. So it kind of becomes a little bit too boring for them to keep up for Season 2.
So this is interesting because I do think Season 2 doesn't make as much of a splash as Season 1. But I do like Spy Family Season 2 story more because of the Yor arc. I was like, this is what I was looking for, especially because Yor has like the weakest characterization in Season 1. I felt like she desperately needed this arc and it really brought her to the forefront as like an important player. But I mm-hmm. think the direction is kind of like the vision and the direction. It's not as creative as the first Spy Family season, because everyone knows that episode of Spy Family Season 1 where, like, you know, they go to that castle and it's like an amusement park and like,
Oh, yes.
Everyone knows about this and everyone's like, why is this so good? And they made it such a big deal. There was none of that magic, I feel like, in any of the other episodes for Spy Family. So even though I like the story for Spy Family Season 2 more because of Yor's arc, I felt like that direction being lost in the second season really made a hit on it.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The second season felt like a bunch of filler episodes plus your arc and then some filler addition. That's what it felt like the season.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, like a bunch of episodes before it and then yours arc and then like one mm-hmm. or two episodes after it. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess the only thing is, I'll talk about the Eminence in Shadow really quickly because I actually really liked the first season for Eminence in Shadow. I didn't like the second season as much, and that's because of a middle arc that takes place. So I like the first arc. There's three arcs in Eminence in Shadow. So I like the first arc, and I really like the last arc. They absolutely nailed the ending. That much I will say. But that middle arc, it was like pulling teeth, guys. It was not half as funny or interesting or entertaining as the first season. So I think it's going to struggle in our polls ultimately because of that. Though I do want to give a shout out to Yamashita-san, who voices Sid, because Sid is like he has like two personas where it's just like one where he's pretend, or I really three, one where he's pretending to be like this mob character, two where it's like actually his internal thoughts, and then three when he's playing as Shadow, like the eminence in Shadow sort of thing. And he does such a good job voice acting, like to do like three roles essentially in one character, but still to be able to hear that they're the same person. I really, really like that. So I'm glad to see he's nominated for our Seiyuu Awards. I really hope he wins. If there's anything that the Eminence and Shadow winning, I would like them to win the Best Voice Actor Award for that one. So yeah.
Voice actor, I see. What about, I also saw on this list Dr. Stone. I haven't been caught up with Dr. Stone, but it seems like you've watched it, Gracie. What are your thoughts on that, the new world?
So, I do like Dr. Stone's season. I talked to Medi about it, which Agnes probably also knows. I've talked to Medi about it. I really like the story of Dr. Stone. I don't think it can really compare to a lot of the other anime because of its direction. You know, like, that's what we were talking about with, like, Spy Family kind of losing its spark and direction between the first season and the second season. Dr. Stone does not have the direction of Jujutsu Kaisen or Oshinoko or even the 100 Girlfriends who really, really love you. And definitely not the direction of Vinland Saga. I'm sorry, I don't think Dr. Stone stands a chance. Even though I like the story, I don't think it stands a chance.
Okay.
Alrighty, so anything else that you guys want to discuss on our nominees? Or should we start wrapping this up?
I think we can wrap it up. I think both you and me have a general consensus of why Maji Ravo wouldn't be a great contender for Anime of the Year, so I think that goes without being said.
Yeah, that's right. We have the same opinions on that, too.
Yeah, we have the same opinions on it. Isabel, if you think that sci-fi or isekai or fantasy doesn't make sense because of its world building or whatever, I think Maji Ravo fits squarely into that.
Yeah, yeah. There are, like, vampires in there, and I was just like, where did that even come from?
Oh, really? Okay, because I did not get any hints of vampires in the first episode.
Yeah, it's got great production values in general for an isekai, and it does a really good job fleshing out the character interactions and the romance between the two heroines. But in general, the world building is very weak. And even Jack, who we talked about it with too, because he read the original light novel, I think, for Maji Revo. He even said that Maji Revo's world building in the light novel is very weak. So it goes to show that it doesn't work out super well.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, like, we already talked about this briefly, but I just want to add again. I'm glad that you watched the last three episodes on 100, Agnes. I actually really ended up enjoying Zom 100. I still think it's really,
really
great. I did
really too,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sad.
I regret not watching it much earlier, but I feel like a binge for Zom 100 up until the end is a little bit more preferable than watching it week by week.
I agree. I think it's much more exhilarating to do a binge. I'm sad about how bad the production was. You know, like
the production schedule.
Delays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt terrible that happened because I think the team, what they ultimately pulled off at the end was a very good product. So
it was a very good and a very clean product. It ended very cleanly, even though it's kind of like left on a cliffhanger of like, yeah, we'll still continue exploring Japan. We won't make a vaccine to like, you know, cure people from being zombies, but you know, we'll still keep doing what we're doing. It's like very open ended, but the way that they ended the last arc is very clean. Yeah. I do like it quite a bit.
Oh, did you like it at the end where they showed, like, bits of the survivors? And remember the couple?
Yes, that was really cool.
Yeah, the couple made it.
I think one of the comments that really drew me in was somebody saying, like, oh my gosh, the couple that lived next door to him survived.
Yeah,
right?
And they, like, and then, they looked like they were, like, ready to face the world, too. I was like,
yeah, I was like, let's go. Married couple in the zombie apocalypse. We love to see it.
I also like that we see at the end the host. Remember, there was like a small segment.
Yes, the host in Akihabara.
And that just made me so happy. I was like, oh, thank goodness, you know. So
yeah, Zom 100, I would recommend it to Isabel if you haven't watched it already. Zom 100 does a really good job at blending comedy and like a slightly dire situation, but people are trying not to take it too seriously because if they do, they will literally like go insane at that point. So I definitely would recommend it if you just want like a chill time to just laugh at actually very decent production qualities. It's just the production schedule is just really
fun. Yeah. I unfortunately fell into that hole. I have only the last three episodes left. So
You should watch it. It's really good. It's really good.
It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very excited. It's a very clean ending. So.
Alrighty. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Please go vote for our awards. Even if you disagree with our opinions, this is our opinions and we definitely don't decide who the winners are. You guys are the ones who do. So, like we do have a singular vote that counts, but that's like three of us here. So, we're not going to decide the winner from our three votes.
We can't even put Buddy Daddies on the list. So what can our greatest failure,
Agnes.
I know. That is truly our greatest failure.
So with that being said, you guys can go vote by going to AnnieTrends, so AnnieTrendz.com, and then do /ATA, and you'll have basically at the webpage, let's just a list of all the polls you can vote for, and you have and basically you have, of course, the top anime, but there's other sections as well, including the character awards. So those are your best boy, best girls, best couples, aspect awards, theme song awards, genre awards, and voice acting awards. So make sure to vote for all of them, please. We would greatly appreciate it, because honestly, the more votes we have, the more fun it is. That's the end of the game, right there. It's just more fun and honest, and we do not know who's going to win. So that's part of the fun for us here at Anime Trending, is ultimately once all the votes are counted, ultimately when we take out any spam votes, we do have protections and securities in place to ensure that, to check for any of these spam votings. And once we get all the votes cleaned out and stuff to see ultimately who the winners are going to be, it's very exciting for us. And you guys make it exciting for us. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will be back next week. Continue our Anime Trending Awards spotlights. We're going to talk about one of the other categories you guys can vote for. And I hope you guys will be here next time. So bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.